this is Roy Lilly. You know, I've never really understood the role of the Health Services Ombudsman. I'm sure he's a jolly good fellow, hardworking and well-intended, but what is the point? Is his job to sort things out when everyone else has had a go and failed? A sort of dumping ground, the last resort, a complaints compost? The sensible thing to do would be to figure out why complaints don't get sorted and fix them before they get into the ombuddy's inbox. By the time issues have battled their way through the jungle, they've been compounded, fermented, and turned into an impenetrable mess with files so thick it takes three strong men to carry them. For the last 7 years, Rob Berrens has been the ombudsman, and by the look of his picture in The Guardian, and I linked to it this morning, it doesn't look like it's made him very happy. Anyway, he might cheer up a bit as he's quitting. After 7 years of complaints and aggro, who can blame him? His valedictory isn't a bunch of roses. He says having to confront a cover-up culture, including the altering of care plans and the disappearance of crucial documents after patients have died, and robust denial in the face of documentary evidence, has left him chastened. Well, I bet it has. He added, COVID, huge staff shortages, financial pressures, demands, staff stress, the frailty of buildings, I like that, the frailty of buildings, makes life very difficult. There was more. Medical care, he says, is never risk-free. The key test of a good system is whether lessons are learned after something goes wrong and changes made to avoid a repeat. Too often, in the NHS, that doesn't happen. He tells us that doctors have regularly contacted him and claimed they've tried to raise issues and have been bullied and closed down. You know, we have to stop and think. We have the CQC, the Health Services Safety Investigation Bureau, the GMC, the duty of candor, and now Martha's Rule, giving patients the right to a second opinion. PALS give advice about the complaints process. Its goal is to resolve patient concerns quickly and informally where possible. The ombudsman can't initiate an investigation. They have to wait for things to get bad. Barron says ministers have resisted giving him those powers because, and I quote him, it would lead to the ombudsman poking their nose into too many things, generating an even greater workload. Right. The duty of candor is particularly interesting. Staff under a legal duty to speak up if things go wrong and an obligation to fess up to patients and relatives when things have gone wrong. Let's be honest, it doesn't work. Ministers are supposed to be looking at strengthening it in some way. Why are we still in this tangle with complaints and things going wrong? We know, don't we, the NHS is over-regulated, there is personal jeopardy, and the roof comes in at the hint of someone whispering about a problem, never mind speaking up. Our system looks for someone to blame, becomes mired in retribution, lawyers, costs, and reputation damage. New Zealand deals with these matters entirely differently, with a no-blame culture and a no-fault system, as do Denmark, Sweden, and Finland. And I linked to an interesting article about them. What's wrong with the NHS that after 75 years it still can't handle complaints? Can't get people to do the obvious thing in a safety critical industry to say, whoa, hold up, something's not right. The answer, I think, is somehow wrapped up in ownership. Yes, it's our NHS and we pay for it, but the people working in it are not encouraged to have a sense of ownership. Proprietorship. We care about the things we own. A rental car won't ever experience the tender loving care your own car might. We have to accept the obligations we have to each other and to the patients and their relatives, carers and friends to keep everyone safe. But staff who feel put upon, exploited and ignored will never feel that sense of mutuality, belonging, owning. We pay special attention to what we think is ours. If we really thought the NHS was ours, we'd speak up when people did daft or dangerous things because it's ours and don't want it damaged. And if we had a real sense of ownership, we'd thank them for doing it. Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly, and I hope we'll speak again real soon. Bye-bye.